Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Happy Monday night. One Monday night game tonight. Not two, not three, not four. One Monday night
not
game
two,
tonight.
Not trash. Three, not four.
We are just getting set to begin the third quarter. It is a 14-10 Ravens lead over the Raiders. Lamar Jackson doing Lamar Jackson things on his big touchdown pass. Unfortunately for you and I, Mike Harmon, Josh Jacobs with a touchdown run, killing us in fantasy. But so far, pretty entertaining game in the first half. And, hey, it's going to come down to Lamar Jackson just kind of being Lamar Jackson. Look, Williams has the big touchdown run, but everything else has been Lamar Jackson, and that's kind of what it's going to be probably for the rest of the season.
Big run up the gut from Tyson Williams. We told you to get him on the waiver wire. Big 35-yard touchdown run on a fourth and short play. So I like the trend of coaches going for fourth downs. Just be consistent. You hear it, Nagy? Be consistent. But no,
You're already pissed off now.
I've been going 24 hours. Look, I've been salty for 26 hours now with some of the clown-like moves made by him yesterday. But
what did I tell you? I told you going into the game. I said you're going to lose. The Rams are fantastic. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. They didn't show me anything other than they're going. And I said, just enjoy
you didn't
you're
watch
at the game.
There was a lot more to that game. Sure.
I said, no, I watched the game. And I
don't
told
believe you,
you
did.
Just enjoy you watch the game. Just enjoy they were going to be there. You were going to lose. You put up a generic 14-point Matt Nagy-like performance. You can't tell me you were going to put up more points than that. Yes, you drove. You were in Rams territory a long time, but you did Bears things. I said, your first game, they're not going to win.
He did Bears things, like pulling out a rhythmic drive to bring in Justin Fields multiple
right.
times.
I told you this was all going to happen. Just enjoy the fact that they're together and they're playing. You're at the game with your brothers and enjoy that. I told you, just enjoy it. Don't go into thinking, okay, we're gonna win. No, the Bears are going to do Bears
things. It's not a function of whether you win or not. It's maddening to watch the same damn errors and bad coaching for another year. You know, kind of like they were doing at USC until they're not. So that's one of the many stories circling on an NFL Monday.
Did you at least have a fun night?
Other than the sewage smell in our section, that was bad.
Oh, wow.
Very bad in a new facility.
Yeah, okay.
And the fact that there's just no splashes of color. It's just concrete.
Mm.
Oh, right. Here's some banners, and here's, you know, like the things you buy that you roll up at a trade show or put behind you to do a web video. You got a bunch of those laying around, but otherwise, like, it's just stale. Like it's an amazing structure. It just needs a splash of color.
It needs to be filled with history, Mike Harmon. It needs to be filled.
Well, you
got to
start somewhere. But yeah. You know what? My favorite moment, though, not to sidetrack into my night at SoFi too much. Bears, Rams, obviously the victory. Everybody celebrating Matthew Stafford throwing to air. But it's the they're doing the dedication. Rich Eisen comes out and he's doing all this, and then they keep throwing to these video montages. And they were about to celebrate the Kroenke family, and it started with Jerry Jones.
No.
He shows up on the big screen and has a couple of lines. I started cheering. It's like, you know who brought you this house. There you go. And that's why he's in that video. And people are turning around and they're screaming at me. It was great.
Just to remind everybody, hi, I'm Jerry. We lost on Thursday night, but boy, Dak looks like the MVP. Got to stay on script. Yeah, I know that Kroenke's the guy, but you know who brought this team here, right? Brought the stay. It was me. So when I see you for the Super Bowl, don't boo. Nobody boo. When I see you, I'm going to go back up to Oxnard. Don't boo. When I see you for the Super Bowl, I will shake every one of your hands.
Buddy, it was funny as hell. It's like, all right, let's celebrate the arrival of the Rams you know, and SoFi Stadium. And there's Jerry Jones as the first image on it. It was so funny. It's like, daddy's watching.
Who are we going to see? Well, I don't know. They could show anybody. They could show Eric Dickerson. They could show, it doesn't matter. They could show Jack Youngblood. Anybody. It could be, they could show Jeff Fisher. No. Jerry Jones is the first guy.
I got to find that. That's on tape somewhere. Because there's all these little things of in the community. And here's, you know, the representatives in Inglewood that helped to get the legislation and the monies and all, you know, do all the contracts and everything to make this work. And then there's the shot of Jerry. It's like, this is perfect. Perfect. You're celebrating the opening of a new facility. And there's Jerry Jones hanging out on these giant video boards, which are really impressive. Because as you walk in pregame, they've got all the afternoon games on them.
Hello. I'm Jerry Jones. Just let you know, next time this happens, the only games that are going to be on all the screens are going to be Dallas Cowboys games. All 50 of them, just the Cowboys. Okay, and really, I'm the real owner of the Rams. I mean, don't tell anybody, I'm the real owner. Kroenke, he can get all the publicity he wants. I'm busy in Dallas, but I'm really the owner of this team. Go Rams. Ram, where's that Elton John guy? Ram it. Where's that Ram it video? I want to hear that Ram it video. I'm the real owner. I'm the owner now. And he puts on a Rams hat.
That was good. I like that.
So it is a huge week one in the NFL. Where I got a great hot take coming your way that you're going to hear and go, ooh, that's not that hot, actually. The big breaking news today in football, finally, USC's long national nightmare is over as Clay Helton has been relieved of his duties as head coach of the USC Trojans, a story that really comes from the files of why didn't this happen in 2019? But that's how it goes. After a very embarrassing loss to Stanford this past weekend, Helton is out. Dante Williams will serve as head coach in the interim. Williams is one of the best recruiters that the team has, so they want to keep them together while USC does what I hate every team when they want to do this, right? This tells me that USC has not learned a lesson, and they're going to continue down a road of mediocrity, right? They are going to go through a nationwide search for a head coach. It will take months, and already there are 12 names that have popped up. Bill O'Brien's name is up there. Of course, Urban Meyer's name is out there because, hey, he's going to leave Jacksonville after probably on Thursday, considering how bad things are. Hey, I want to go back and get that gig.
What did I tell you?
James Franklin's name is out there. So many. Luke Fickell's name. Yeah. There are so many names, right? And it is insane. And you know they're going to take months to go through this, right? This is something they're not going to hire their new head coach until after the bowl season, right? Like, this is what they're going to do. They did it now, and it's just going to be a months-long story. And this is all because of the one thing that schools and teams do that I hate, when they say, we are going to leave no stone unturned. We're going to have a nationwide search because we're going to get this right. Whenever I hear somebody say that, I go, you have no idea what you want. And it's going to be a craptastic search because you have to have some idea of who you want your next head coach to be. Now, maybe they do it. Maybe Urban Meyer says, where's my escape clause in that contract? Where's that? But this is what businesses do when they really don't know what they want next. We're going to make a nation leave no stone unturned. You kind of want to have an idea of the kind of coach you want in. Do you want somebody that can recruit? Do you want somebody that's going to come in? Do you want a big name? We have no idea, and we're going to know when we see them. That's awful. That is an awful way to try to find somebody, right? They do that in radio all the time, right? Hey, we're looking for our next big local superstar, 3 to 7 for drive time. Do you have what it takes? We're taking a nationwide search to find out. It's like, you have no idea what you want. You really don't know. You really don't. So you're waiting to hear something and be bowled over and go, oh, yes, well, this is who we have to go with. You need to know where you're going to go with your next step. You needed to know, we're firing Clay Helton. This is what is next. And not just, well, we're doing it. But this is how USC does things. Like, they just got around to this. Right? USC's been in so much scandal and so many things weighing them down. Getting a new football coach was never on their big list of to-do things. Why? Because they had so much other things. The USC was leaking water. It was, let's plug a hole here. Let's plug a hole here. Oh, we got a scandal going on. Oh, we got Lori Loughlin involved. We got to figure this out. Felicity Huffman. They just got to the football part of it now. Right? They could have done this 2 years ago if they were still a football school. If they were a football school, USC would have done this in 2019 and said, you know what? No, we need something more than this. We had our chance. Clay Helton had his chance. He screwed up the quarterback decision a couple of times, got lucky. They've had good recruits in. If they were still a football school, they would have done this in 2019. But now they're just getting around to it. Oh, now after this. Now, why? Because so many donors and boosters called and said, I'm pulling all my cash because I'm not putting up with this crap anymore, this head coach. That's what happened. Okay, this is, okay, now we need new leadership. You didn't. You know that this is a 2 week thing. This is a 2 year. They decided to let this go through and fester, and now look where they are. U.S. football is no longer a priority at USC, because if it was, this would have been addressed in 2019. They would have wound up going out and getting Urban Meyer or somebody else who was going to be really successful in college, and they would have done it. But instead, hey, we don't need to fix this right now because we're still winning some games and we're going to bowl games and everything is okay. And all right, well, we have other things we have to fix now. But now suddenly it's like the priority's been dumped in their lap. And oh, wow, people are going to pull money. We got to figure this out. Oh, hey, now we will address the position of football head coach. Like it was something on their to-do list over the course. Well, we'll get to this. USC is no longer a football school. And I'm telling you, and that's the big takeaway here. If they were, they would have done this 2 years ago. So now you wonder, where are your sports priorities? Because as much as you want to talk about academics need to be a big deal, we have to focus on things, football's your biggest moneymaker. It makes all the other sports possible. And you had a dynasty, and now you're continuing to let it fall into disrepair. You're not a football school anymore because you would have taken care of this earlier.
Yeah, there's a few things that come out of this. First off, you addressed it saying after 2019. Okay, well, after 2020, certainly. Right, if the hook is there and you've pulled it out and have it ready on the side of the stage, you know, let's go all 1970s, 80s, all the revivals of the gong show, where if someone's really bad, not only do they get gonged, but the big gaffer's hook comes out and takes them down. That's what you should have done in the off season. Okay, so that's part one. Part two is the fact that you've got an administration. Right, you got 44,000 students. That's the estimate of what's on campus when you add everybody together, plus a massive alumni base. You've got a situation where you're beholden to a lot of people. I get that. You've got a lot of donors. And I know there's always the buyout thing that people complain about. And I just chuckle. That money's under a rock just three steps to the right of you. Okay? Just figure out which guy hates Clay Helton the most, and that's going to get paid. Man or woman, whoever's got the big checkbook, that's fine. Go away. Bring me a new coach. But from an administrative standpoint, you also have the fact that at USC, they didn't let Clay Helton pick any of his assistants. That's another problem, right? When you're trying to, you know, ascertain who's going to be available for this job. And some of these names that show up on this list, it's like, just stop throwing out because a guy's ever coached a college game that he might show up on your campus. Like, Cristobal isn't leaving Oregon suddenly to come over here. Right?
Hey, you want to come now? Wait, we just beat Ohio State.
Yeah, we're playing bully ball. We're playing great football. And we now have NIL and a guy who will write checks till he's blue in the face and send merch all over this great country to get guys to show up here with alternate uniforms, cool looks. Right? Yeah, let me leave. Blake, you kidding me? Get out of here. But here's the question nobody's asking. And this is the other meeting that has to happen. Where are you if you're Stanford Athletics and a loss to you is seen as such a detrimental, earth-shattering moment that they fire this guy up here? That's what has to happen back in Palo Alto right now with David Shaw and his – look, and they beat the snot out of USC the other night.
Wait, anybody, you want to fire him after beating USC?
No,
hey,
no,
congrats.
No.
That's
no,
such a huge win.
No.
Because it was so embarrassing.
I didn't say that.
People were saying that. We need to fire you,
I didn't
David Shaw.
Say that. But I think that's time to look inward, right? You know you've had some struggles. You know you're not the juggernaut that's been there a few times. What happened culturally? What happened recruiting-wise? Why aren't you seen as being a threat, right? Because USC was 14th in the land and they got smoked. They got run over. This is becoming bully ball in the Pac-12, which is a whole shift in the paradigm. But when you see Stanford is the proverbial straw that broke the horse's or camel's back, depending on which etymology you want to use, that the fact is you're seen as just a jag program, That's another problem that needs to be addressed within the Pac-12. But obviously, the bigger story is Clay Helton. Good luck with your buyout. Maybe he'll show up on Nick Saban's staff any day now.
Well, that's why this is not a two-week story. That's why I think it's a little bit more importance is being placed on the fact, oh, they lost to Stanford. Yes, it was embarrassing, and they played awful, right? They just played an awful, and they were uninspired. And, you know, it's almost like this was, all right, here's the last straw. We thought we'd be able to compete this year, and now we're not. We've lost a game. UCLA is getting all the great headlines. They pulled the big upset, and here we are, another uninspired year. We're off to, so now we make this decision.
But what did you think was going to change?
Of course, like I said, they're not a football school. If they knew, if they were, they would have known, hey, the importance of taking care of the football program is the number one bleeping thing we got to worry about. You can worry about that cheating scandal at some point. You got to make sure this football program brings in so much bleeping
money.
That
other thing was a joke. If you just hadn't tied it to athletics, nobody would have cared.
You got to make sure.
But you can't scratch off one name from the coaching carousel. Pete Carroll said thanks.
But just wait for Urban Meyer. In fact, I'm waiting to get one of those websites to go. Urban Meyer, this plane took off from Jacksonville and is landing at LAX approximately.
NORAD is on the scene.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting. I'm waiting to see something like that because you know it's going to be coming.
He's like Santa Claus again.
Because
he lost to my Texans this week.
There's your big takeaway. USC is no longer a football school. Because they simply don't care about the football program as much as they should. And
quitters.
That is a huge, huge deal.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo!
Right now, third quarter, a Justin Tucker field goal has pushed the Ravens' lead out to 7. Ravens lead at 17-10 over the Raiders. Still a lot of time left here. 7 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Yeah, Tavon Young just called for a huge pass interference. Derek
huge
Carr threw the
huge penalty. Sorry.
Yeah, he threw the ball more than 25 yards down the field.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the only time this year.
Wow.
They're going to throw the ball down. One time, Derek Carr, just to make everybody think he can, then every other pass is going to be 8 yards and less.
Yeah, a holding could have been called a couple of times, and then coming towards the end of the play, you had the pass interference called, so you have a nice, big, long gainer. Biggest play of the day. No, I'm just kidding. Raiders are doing just fine.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations, they do apply. Well, listen, coming up in a few minutes, I'm going to tell you the one quarterback that I don't believe people understand how good he was yesterday.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I was going to say, can I guess? Can I guess who you're going to slobber all over?
I'm very excited about it.
It was Daniel Jones. But first, week one, you never want to panic too much, right? Because it's 1 week, especially now with the extra week. Okay, an 0-2 start isn't necessarily the death sentence for a season that it used to be. Because, all right, you get another week, now you start 0-3, then suddenly you're in a lot of trouble. But certainly my biggest concern after week one in the NFL, one of those results where I said, man, this could still get ugly for a team that has so many hopes and dreams, are the Green Bay Packers. Because it's not about Aaron Rodgers. The Packers' offensive line, look, we talked about this. When David Bakhtiari was starting the season on the PUP list, they were down two big-time starters. And they let their center leave, who was one of the best centers in the game. And this was going to be a really big deal. And what happened against the Saints? Rodgers was under duress the entire game. And he wound up getting benched after the third quarter because there was nothing they can do. This is not going to be on Rodgers, right? Rodgers is someone who, look, you got to find a way to make plays. I get that. But some quarterbacks that aren't as mobile as they used to be, that need that time, that are used to a certain level of protection, this is a huge deal. Because if the Packers don't get this fixed, by the time they get their lineman back, they could be staring at a 1-5 season. Because already, even though it was a smooth sailing off season for them when it came to once Aaron Rodgers said he was coming back, all reports out of Green Bay training camp was, hey, everything was good. There was no discrepancy. No one was fighting. They were a pretty good, well-oiled machine. They looked good in practice. There was no hangover of Aaron Rodgers' situation. But this is where it gets out of control fast. And Aaron Rodgers is going to bear the brunt of the criticism because that's what happens when you're the quarterback and you make $30 million a year. When you play well, you get the credit. When you play bad, you get all the blame. And this is something that can really spiral out of control fast, because if they can't get the offensive line fixed, oh boy, a week like this, you see a couple more weeks like this, it's going to be what is going on. And then everybody's looking for the exit door, and Aaron Rodgers is leaving at the end of the season, definitely, and all kinds of crazy things are happening. They're my biggest concern after week one is the Packers, and specifically their offensive line, because they could derail this entire season by the time we get a third of the way through.
Yeah, it's funny because you look at week two, you got Detroit, but I don't know how many people watched that game. They saw the score and saw how lopsided it got with San Francisco. Detroit, you know, was a one step here, a slip there from being in that game early, right? DeAndre Swift with a couple of near plays. And yes, ifs and buts and whatever, but they did fight all the way through, as you would expect if you saw Dan Campbell on the sideline in that medium dry fit shirt. But to your point, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to get even more criticism when you act like a petulant child, say a lot of stuff through your friends in the media, and then eventually just come back where you started. And it's more of the same. The team that I'm looking for is the team I picked to run out of the AFC because, well, they got worked. And for a moment, the question comes for the Tennessee Titans is, are you only potent when you're ahead, right? When you can have the full balance, because Derrick Henry couldn't get on track early against an Arizona Cardinals defense that we had really no high expectations for. But Tennessee at home got blitzed. Kyler Murray had a fantastic game, but defensively, you got three turnovers that they caused and you averaged 3.9 yards per pass play. Tannehill under duress and just not a smooth effort at all. And if you can't get the running game on track and at least play even, I think they could be in trouble. Not that you're going to see this. I mean, obviously, you've got game one where you're game planning for, you know, whatever, months, right? Potentially, hey, we got some extra stuff cooked up in the books that we saw on tape for these guys, as opposed to the read, react, and quick assessment that you got to do on a week-to-week basis. But for the moment, yeah, Vrabel's squad, for me, left me, as I watched that game, with an eyebrow raised.
Well, I'll tell you what they're missing. They're missing Corey Davis, dude. They're missing Corey Davis. I'm going to see. No, look, the thing with the Titans, and this is my concern for them, is that is their window to win still open? Because this has been the same window now for 3 years. Hey, we got a great running game. We got the best running back in the NFL. We got a quarterback who has shown in the right system he can play really well and put points on the board as long as the running game is happening. How many years can you keep that window open before the other teams catch up to you, start doing something different, and your way of winning becomes much more difficult to sustain, right? Because you had a dynamic team in Arizona that just went up and down the field, and it was a level of excitement, and they couldn't stop Kyler Murray, and you're worrying about so many different weapons. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter who ran the football for them, made no difference. You saw a different football team putting it to Tennessee. Now, this could be Tennessee coming out and being flat, but that's my one thing, is that, you know, this has been the same Titans team for a while now, and usually you can't stay the same and keep winning. You need to have some kind of new energy, a new way to win, a new wrinkle to show other teams, or eventually everybody's going to catch up to you. But this Titans team is the same team as it was 3 years ago. Okay, we're going to rely on Derrick Henry, and what else? And Ryan Tannehill is a find, and he's going to be able to throw. Okay, that's great. And where are you now? Well, Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. How are your weapons at wide receiver? Kind of the same. Maybe a little bit worse than a year ago because we lost a really good guy. What about everything else? It's kind of what it was. Ooh, I don't know any teams that from 2018 are going to be just as good when it's the same people in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, that's you still have all those divisional games, and there'll be plenty winnable on the
season. clearly that division is going to be a fertile hunting ground for somebody.
No, but that's just it, right? I mean, you got six games that you can go get it. Right, because the Colts, I'd been telling you all along, and then certainly with as it ran up, I don't know, because Quentin Nelson ain't right, and it's Carson Wentz. I'm just gonna leave it there, as we watched what their game was. But Julio Jones had four more receiving yards than AJ Green, And there's the only time I think you should put them in the same sentence in 2021. Or I would say if you're a Tennessee Titans fan, that's your hope, that that's the only time the two are compared in terms of statistical output in 2021.
Buddy, I can't tell you how happy I am that I backed off of that Colts to the AFC Championship game prediction. I can't tell how much I officially put the fork in that.
I kept warning you, and you finally came around to my side as my, you know, double the spread pick there of the Seattle Seahawks came through easy.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me just tell you this, because I'm telling you the truth. All right. The Jets stink. All right. We stink. All right. Sam Darnold is just a guy. Right?
You know what? You did beat the spread, though.
Yes, we did. We did. And that lies into my next point. Sam Darnold did what you're supposed to do against terrible teams. All right. He had a good enough game to win. Right. But they put 19 points on the board. He still overthrew receivers. He's still the same guy. Right. But he did, because the Jets, I mean, all his throws that he made, guys are wide open. The Jets defense is on the field way too long. The Jets stink. But I really am telling you, people don't understand how well Zach Wilson played against the Panthers on Sunday. All right, he was under violent duress for the entire game. And I'm gonna illustrate this for a second, and a point that we're going to make you go, oh, wow. He played so well. Look, the first half was so tough. He was getting hit every play, right? All his dropbacks, he was sacked 6 times. He was always under pressure. The Jets' offensive line stinks. It absolutely stinks. This is the second offseason that they tried to fix it, and it stinks. It absolutely stinks. But here's the thing. As bad as it was, down 16-0 to a team that's just okay. The Panthers are just okay. Zach Wilson still found a way under all that pressure to go 20 out of 37 for 258, 2 touchdowns, a 2-point conversion run, and nearly pull off the upset at the end. They lost 19-14. Right, that's a pretty big deal. And you know, I know people are paying a lot of attention to after he got swamped on that sack, and I thought he was coming out of the game because he was getting up like, oh my God, I just got hit by 2 trucks. He completes 2 passes, zings one for a touchdown. It's not just that he's a tough kid. It's that he was still able to do this in a day where so many other quarterbacks would have just been out of the game, or they would have been pulled. All right, because think about this, right? It was violent duress for Zach Wilson. We just talked about Aaron Rodgers being under duress the entire game with the Packers. Are the Packers a better team? Yes. Are the Saints a way better team defensively than the Panthers? Not really. Aaron Rodgers, under duress all day, was 15 out of 28, 133 yards, 2 picks, and he benched for the fourth quarter. So just think about that for a second when you say, oh, but this is what Zach Wilson was able to do with no offensive line and no time. He made some throws, and I know the defense is going, I really can't believe that he gets that ball in there. You can watch it on tape and go, wow, that ball just zips right by in the windows he can put it in. I am so excited, because eventually we'll fix the offensive line, but just think about this. You talk about how quarterbacks do under pressure, and with all that pressure in his first bleeping NFL game, and he still almost pulls off the upset, 258, 2 touchdowns. Compare it to what other guys were doing. They're under a lot of pressure. You go, oh, wow, okay, so you want to compare Zach Wilson to Aaron Rodgers, which is kind of the comp that he has a little bit. Look at Aaron Rodgers under pressure, what happened yesterday, versus Zach Wilson, what happened under pressure, to two defenses that are pretty similar. They have different strengths, but the Panthers' defensive line is really good. The Saints look better in coverage. I get that, but it's not like they were facing the 85 Bears and one team wasn't. This was pretty similar, and you saw one guy with less talent and no offensive line still able to put points on the board and try to win the game. I'm not saying Zach Wilson's better than Aaron Rodgers. It's just people don't understand what kind of good game he had yesterday in his first NFL game.
Well, the thing is, he didn't stop, right? Rookies normally under that level, as you said, violent duress. There's that point, not that they're never use the word quit, but there's that dejected mode, and maybe it's a, all right, we live to see another day. And maybe they change up the play calling and aggressiveness of trying to turn the ball downfield. Instead, he kept flinging. And we know he's got a live arm. Anybody that's watched 5 minutes of this guy's tape know that that's the case. And Corey Davis is a guy that, when it's all said and done, as we predicted long ago in the fantasy realm, this guy's going to end up as a top 15 fantasy wide receiver on the year. But looking at what that team is, yeah, it's good. There are going to be a lot of, you know, hold your breath moments because you're going to take a lot of hits. There's no question about that. But it was fun to watch them battle back, even though it means I've got to do an extra 5 miles on a treadmill, you know, because of that half point.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. I'm telling you, buddy, he was so good yesterday. I mean, the Jets got there. Just watching the difference between him throw the football and Sam Darnold, and you go, oh, yeah. I mean, anybody with eyes can go, yeah, I could see it. I could see it. I'm telling you, the Jets got the right guy. And with an offensive line, look out. He's one of those quarterbacks that will make everybody better around him. He's not someone that, hey, if you put good weapons around him, he'll be good, like the Cowboys did for Tony Romo for 15 years. Just keep giving him guys. Look how good he is. No, he's one of those players that if you're not open, I'm going to throw you open. I'm going to put the ball in the tight window. You're going to catch it, and it's going to be a big play. I mean, that's the kind of guy he is. I'm more excited to have him than I'd be if we had Trevor Lawrence at this point. Now, granted, they got problems in Jacksonville right now, but I'm more, after what I've seen so far, I'm more excited to have him than I would be for Trevor Lawrence right now. Right now. Now, that could change if Trevor Lawrence starts winning Super Bowls. But right now, what I saw from Zach Wilson, I don't know any other young quarterback that could have come in and had a game like that and still kept the team in contention. That was some kind of effort, man, I'm telling you.
No,
and the Jets
done stink.
Yeah. And they absolutely stink. Don't make me wrong. They absolutely stink. But now we have a quarterback.
Yeah, see, my full apologist rant on Andy Dalton's play from Sunday night will be up at Swollen Dome later on.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report, limitations, they do apply. Well, straight ahead, still 17-10, Ravens with the lead in the fourth quarter. We're going to look back at our big week one NFL picks. How did we do? Did we do great? Were we terrible? We break it down next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. When a train, it's a vehicle to railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. If the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. 10.5 to go in the fourth quarter, and a Lamar Jackson fumble has just given the football to the Raiders as they are driving with a chance to tie this game. Lamar Jackson scrambling for a first down, airborne. The ball is knocked out. A potentially scary landing as he kind of landed on his helmet and on his shoulder. But Lamar Jackson does look to be okay, but the Raiders are driving. They have a first and 10. They are just outside the Ravens' 30-yard line. So we'll keep you posted on this game. Still a long time left to go. We got 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Now, to look back at our picks from week one in the NFL, let me just say this. My upset special picks, Mike Harmon.
Yeah, buddy.
5-0 through the first 2 weeks. College football in the NFL.
5-0 against the spread.
I am feeling pressured. Now I have people in my family saying, who do you like this week?
Oh, that's
I'm
good.
Like, oh, wow.
That's a good way to be.
Now it's pressure. The guy I coach soccer with, my assistant coach, goes, hey, you got a couple of picks for me tonight?
Oh, wow.
Like, How about that? Man, I'm feeling pressure. Pressure. 5-0, baby. 5-0 of the upset specials. I'm feeling good, Mike Harmon. I had Iowa over Iowa State. I told you, low scoring game. Iowa's defense would play well.
Boy,
boom,
that offense
on the field
is trash, though.
Oh, I know.
I tell you what, Iowa's eventually going to get smoked by somebody.
Oh, sure.
It's a function of which week it is.
Yeah, but what kind of pretenders is Iowa State? They returned everybody from last year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, which is why it's funny, you know, who appears on as one of the USC wish list guys?
Yeah.
Matt Campbell.
There he is. And in the NFL, I had the Chargers plus two. They went on the field. That was a gritty win. I told you I'm going to take Justin Herbert over the Washington defense.
Yeah.
And boom. Chargers.
Rashawn Slater, road grader. You know, he and Chase Young had some familiarity from time at Northwestern and all. But
true, yeah. True.
And he owned
5-0. I'm feeling good. Now,
oh, you're good. I had a 3-1 week.
Nice, buddy.
Overall.
Because where I was bad, you were good in our new give double the points pick segment that we do. I was 0-2. Both of my laid double the points did not come through for me. I said the Patriots, listen, they're going to win this game. Lay double the points for them. Didn't happen. The Falcons are going to destroy the Eagles. The Eagles stink. Now it turns out it's the Falcons who stink. So I was really 0-2 on games that I was so supremely confident. Maybe that's what I need. I need to be on the edge. Okay, I kind of feel the pressure to make these picks because the ones I was really confident on, I'm saying, oh, you can lay double, triple the points on these games. No, completely got them wrong.
I just think we changed the segment to supremely confident with Jason and Mike. Look, let's see. Against the spread, I took BYU plus. They were getting 7. Said I didn't want the points, didn't need the point. No, and I didn't. And BYU won convincingly. I took the Houston Texans. You tried to get me committed. Just calling it what it is.
Look what happened.
On Sunday morning, Bucky Brooks tried to get me committed. The Houston Texans, Lovie Smith, owned that game. Defensive coordinator, give me Lovie, give me Wade Phillips. I'll take those two guys over just about anybody. And then the double the points were the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes. Again, I am so glad that I officially backed off my Colts to the AFC championship.
Well, and for Russell Wilson, right? A 4-touchdown game. Here we go again. And
he loves everybody.
Well, but that's just it. Now he loves everybody, and it's all right with the Seahawks. Meanwhile, the Aaron Rodgers stuff's like, maybe it's because they all just hate each other. The fact that LaFleur had to account for that in his presser today was just laughable. It's like, no, the offseason had nothing to do with this. Like, well, he didn't show up to work. And then you gave him the fourth quarter off because you were being buried. But the other one, and I don't remember whether I officially picked them or not, but talked about that Minnesota-Cincinnati game. And a great job by the Bengals. Joe Burrow was on with Dan Patrick on the network this morning talking about the audible that made that game as he hooked up with his tight end and checked off a run play. So good stuff for them, a good start for the Vikings. Well, the Kirk Cousins critics are out in full force already.
So there it is. That's how we did this week, picking our games. And already, the biggest thing, I am never going to pick the Falcons again for anything.
Oh, they're trash. Right?
Last year, they had bad luck. Their offense was good. Oh, yeah, the Falcons. Now, okay, they had a lot of bad luck. No, they're just terrible.
I knew that defense was going to be bad again. I did not expect them to get run like they
because
did.
Because the Eagles stink. They stink worse, but now it turns out the Falcons stink worse. Oh, my goodness.
Are they below the Jets?
Come on. Jets at least almost won. We got more NFL on the way, including the most shocking result of week 1. Might not be what you think. That's next right here on Fox.